Hi, it's JC with the top 5 reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number 1, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. 2, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. 3 and 4, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number 5, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It's championship week, so another bonus podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, 4 years running, season 4 coming to an end this weekend. I do not offer you season-long fantasy advice. If you play in week 17, you are on your own. If you are playing that week, this should be it. This should be your championship week. It is presented by Hooters. There are 11 original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, and I'm sure for those of you around the nation and around the world, it doesn't take much for you to figure out where your nearest Hooters location is for watching the National Football League, all the college bowl games, including the college football playoff and the National Football League playoffs coming up in January. It is early for me. As I record this prior to all the 3 Saturday games, I'm sure this podcast will not post before those Saturday games, so I'm doing a final look ahead to the Sunday games on this podcast, hoping that it does get posted by Saturday night or overnight into Sunday or Sunday morning. I've been receiving a lot of your emails, and I appreciate that. I will not be able to answer any emails on Sunday, but I will answer emails come Monday. You can tell me how things went, or you can talk about where you are in relation to your opponent going into a Monday night game with that critical Viking running back situation, the Adam Thielen dilemma. Some of you have even considered benching Aaron Jones, thinking he's too touchdown dependent. One gentleman that emailed me about that did have other options in the backfield. Not something I would do. As I've talked about, I've previewed the Monday game. Someone talked about benching Devontae Adams. Not something I would do. I don't subscribe to the theory like Matthew Berry this time of year. You have to play your studs, but if they have been productive for you in the matchup, doesn't totally scare you away, you got to play those guys. I know, as I did in a previous podcast, looking ahead to Monday, yes, I can make the case that you might have someone better to play other than Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, but not so much Adams or Diggs or Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, just he could go off Monday night, have a 2 or 3 touchdown game. Same with Adams, really, when you think about it. And then there's Mike Boone, who might be the the odd name right at the end that wins or loses you a fantasy championship. All right, let me do the Sunday games. These are the early afternoon or late afternoon games. I'm just going to freely talk about names that I think are potentially worthwhile. I'm not saying they're the strongest plays in the world necessarily, but I think they're in the mix. I think I have these broken up into the 1 o'clock Eastern starts and then the late afternoon starts. I previewed the Sunday night game on a previous Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Cincinnati-Miami has some shootout potential. In play here, and these are all season-long league-type things, Fitzmagic, Parker, Boyd, and Mixon. Steelers and Jets, I talked earlier in the week, just because Juju plays, I don't think it magically changes his fortunes for the 2019 season. From a Jets standpoint, it's not a great matchup against that awesome Steeler defense. Granted, Crowder had a ton of targets last week, also against a very good defense in Baltimore in garbage time. Le'Veon Bell owners, you've had a heck of a run. If you've made the championship game in spite of Le'Veon Bell, good for you. This is a tough spot for him, going up against his former team and with a lot of Steeler fans likely in attendance at MetLife starting the holidays early. Robbie Anderson's in a real tough spot, real tough matchup here. I guess you can make a case for Crowder and PPR, but not a lot in this game gets me excited. It's just more than anything the end of an appropriate end to Le'Veon Bell's disappointing first fantasy season outside the Pittsburgh Steelers. Giants and Washington, garbage game. Potential for good fantasy points, especially from receivers like Slayton and McLaren. Adrian Peterson doesn't seem like an awful play in this game. Saquon Barkley, let's look at that too. Saquon Barkley has been a huge disappointment to you, and then last week, boom. Maybe he finishes your fantasy season. If you got to the playoffs in spite of him, how about he helps you win it all? He helped you win your semifinals, potentially, could help you win your championship. Barkley is a green light play. Peterson's not awful if you need another running back or a flex play. Carolina, Indianapolis, two teams that let it get away from them. Indy hasn't done anything in a month. Carolina kind of the same way. I worry about DJ Moore here. I'm an owner of DJ Moore. I'm not playing him this week with a quarterback switch to Will Greer. I have other options. If you do, consider them. Make it your own call. T.Y. Hilton, a little better case than Juju Smith-Schuster, but what has T.Y. done in a month and a half? The one game he came back, he had a couple of drops. At this point, the Colts just don't have a lot going well. Marlon Mack's had a couple of dud games. It's a great matchup for Marlon Mack. You know, Marlon Mack is the kind of back that the minute you write him off, he has a game and you're like, damn, I wish I started him. So I guess you can make that case there. And obviously, you're playing McCaffrey. Baltimore-Cleveland. This is a revenge game for the Ravens. You know, they want to polish off that top seed. Starters will probably sit most of next week. They got hammered by the Browns in week four. Just pounded. Kind of the game this year that made no sense at all. In an unpredictable year, the Browns just pounding the Ravens week four made no sense when you look back on the season. I think it's the last game the Ravens lost, right? So all your normal Ravens are in play. From the Browns standpoint, we hear Beckham, beyond just Beckham and Landry, one out like others. Beckham's playing hurt, groin. Landry playing hurt, hip. Mayfield's had a very below expectation year. Kareem Hunt might be a sneaky play in this game, but he's been a decent play ever since he got in the lineup. Nick Chubb's been one of the most productive running backs in fantasy all year. Don't sit him against the Ravens. Don't. They're still going to hand him the ball just because he's been so consistent. Kind of like I said about Mixon last week against the Patriots. Jacksonville, Atlanta. Julio Jones had, 20 or 22 targets last week after no touchdown since week three and a recent injury. Very motivated to beat his former OC, Kyle Shanahan. Of note, most of those Falcons offensive players hate Kyle Shanahan. Hate him, hate him, hate him, hate him. Just such a dick, they had to move a couple of coaches over to the offensive staff because he was such a dick. So guys on the offense actually had someone they could talk to. So there was a lot of motivation last week, not so much this week, but Atlanta's just clearly a better team. Jags just fired Tom Coughlin, said the coach is okay. We don't know if the coach is okay. Atlanta's in a good spot here. I love Jones again. Matt Ryan should do his floor of, you know, roughly 300 yards, couple of touchdowns. Many like Freeman in this spot. Freeman just strikes me as the guy that the minute you count on him, he lets you down. So if you have other options, take a look at them, but I get it. And from the Jacksonville standpoint, Fournette has had a very good year. The Jags have wasted a good year from Leonard Fournette, which they should not do. DJ Chark's been, you know, that guy that you grabbed on waivers after week one, and he's been pretty good. The matchup says he's good in this game, and Minshew's in at quarterback, but I'm not thrilled with it. They're the Jaguars. Other than Fournette having a floor, I don't know who else does. Last of the 1 o'clock games, Saints and Titans. Alvin Kamara. You know, Barkley's going to pay off for you, paid off for you last week and probably today right at the end. Maybe Kamara can finally do it for you. But it's been Taysom Hill and Latavius Murray getting the rushing touchdowns and not Alvin Kamara. Tennessee, Henry off the injury report. He has his normal high floor, one of the five most productive running backs in fantasy. Tannehill and A.J. Brown have been outstanding the last month. I'm wondering if they're due for a bad game. I know New Orleans just had a shootout with the Niners a couple of weeks ago. I'm just wondering that Tennessee, in a need situation here, even if they can't catch the Texans, they can get that second wild card, but it almost feels like Tannehill and Brown, it's too good to be true. I own Brown. So just step back and have some perspective on how good Brown and Tannehill have been and just kind of wonder a lot. And Lattimore will probably cover Brown. From the Saints standpoint, you love Drew Brees and you love Michael Thomas. Four late afternoon games. Oakland against the LA Chargers. Washington in for Jacobs. Yeah, I like the play. I like it as a flex play. I think the volume is there. Washington's playing for his job in Vegas next year. Gruden loves feeding running backs. From the Chargers standpoint, Eckler, I think, needs just a little over 100 yards to have 1,000 yards receiving on the year. Gordon had a down week, last week? This is a good matchup. I mean, Gordon has had pretty good numbers overall since he's come back. I think they want to get Eckler to that 1,000-yard receiving. I think you do play Keenan Allen here. Oakland gets Renfro back. That might affect Waller's targets. And that pretty much covers, and you know, if you're in mandatory tight end league, Hunter Henry is in that second tier underneath Kittle, Kelsey, and Ertz. Sorry. Detroit, Denver. As everything proof is, Kenny Golladay was, it's been a tough go the last couple of weeks. Love Courtland Sutton in this game. The unpredictable Philip Lindsay should be okay in this game. I wouldn't go overboard. Someone did email me and said, what about plugging and playing Drew Lock for a fantasy championship? I can't do it. Just don't have a lot to go on. That said, you know, if I'm in a sports book in Vegas today or Sunday, it's hard not to take Denver in this matchup against Detroit. But it's not like Denver's a great team. So just be careful. But I think Sutton and Lindsay are plays from the Detroit standpoint. Yeah, maybe you think twice about Kenny Golladay, even though he's given you such a great year until the last week or so. Maybe you do. I'll leave that to you. Same with Marvin Jones. Marvin's done for the year. I'm sorry. I'm just freeballing right here. Arizona, Seattle. And don't get excited about Kerryon Johnson. Don't do it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't. Just don't. Arizona, Seattle. Lockett did something last week. You're playing him this week. This is every week. It's a dream matchup for quarterbacks and pass catchers against the Cardinals. And don't worry about it affecting the volume for Chris Carson. Carson plays, Lockett plays. You might get something out of DK Metcalf. Four catches, 75 yards. DFS, I might even play a David Moore, not for a season-long championship. Russell Wilson's in a good spot. For Kyler Murray, yeah, maybe. Maybe he's a mid-level QB1 this week against Seattle. Garbage time, rushing touchdown. I don't know, 60 rushing yards. Don't like Kirk. Ever since I told you about the Kirk breakout that happened against the Bucs, he hadn't scored. Drake, 4 touchdowns last week. Don't expect 4 this week, but he might get 1. They'll get him the ball. And then Dallas, Philadelphia. Oh, the Cowboys and the Eagles have given their fans quite a ride this year. From the Eagles standpoint, Miles Sanders, yeah, I think he's a play. Zach Ertz is obviously a play. Cowboys. Amari Cooper, other than garbage time against the Bears, has done very little with his knee and other related injuries the last month. Much like playing Arizona as a dream matchup for quarterbacks and wide receivers. This should be for the Cowboys. But Dak Prescott is potentially limited. I wonder what that means. I don't like Cooper in the game. I'm not thrilled about Dak in the game. Kind of can make more of a case for Cobb and Michael Gallup in this game. And even though the Eagles are a pass funnel defense, you do not think about sitting Ezekiel Elliott. For all the bad press that Ezekiel Elliott has gotten all year, he's been one of the top six fantasy running backs in a 32-team league. That's pretty damn good. Can you get away with Wentz as a fantasy starting quarterback this week? I don't think it's your best play. This is not going to get you anything rushing. He's just limited in the targets he has to throw to. Unless he's getting the ball to Ertz or Goddard or Sanders out of the backfield with Alshon Jeffrey done again. So there we are. There's all your Sunday, just some conversation. Good luck. Win your championship. Avoid last place penalty. We'll come back with another Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast on Monday. And you can email me on Monday as well if you need some last-minute thoughts about the Monday night game or just want to recap what happened over the weekend. Again, I'm just offering you a second opinion. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters with a shout-out to Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry Ford, and my Todd Wright Tour and Todd Wright Toddcast sponsors, Pin Chasers, and, of course, FullTorqueFitness.com. Good luck.